And we turn now to Will Bauer from St. Louis Public Radio. He covers the Metro East region there, and we're going to be talking about stories out of the Metro East area of Illinois, which, for those who may not be familiar with the geography, is basically the Illinois part of the St. Louis metropolitan area. Will, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So let's talk. I want to begin with the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services. This is a fairly embattled state agency. It's never been an easy one to run and manage. They have been trying to hire people. They held an event in Fairview Heights. They say it was a success. Talk about that. What were they hoping to accomplish there?
Yeah, well, kind of like pretty much everyone right now in the post-pandemic world, people are struggling, or employers are struggling to hire people. And this is kind of one of the events or types of ways they've tried to combat that problem. And they've had on-the-spot hiring events, is what they had in Fairview Heights earlier this week. And they've had two different events earlier last June in Bloomington and Rockford. And they've had some success bringing people in. And basically this process, it's pretty self-explanatory, right? On-the-spot hiring, it speeds up the process. So instead of waiting a few weeks or maybe even a month to figure out if, you know, you got the job, right? You can just show up, interview, they do fingerprinting, background checks, blah, 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 all the stuff that would be required for you to get hired. But they can do that all in an afternoon. So it really speeds up the process and, you know, helps DCFS, the Department of Children and Family Services, get more people in needed positions. And I guess one of the reasons we were particularly interested in it here at St. Louis Public Radio is because the Missouri equivalent agency, the Missouri Children's Division, has really, really been struggling to hire in St. Louis and St. Louis County. And my colleagues told the story last fall. And in the St. Louis office that covers St. Louis and St. Louis County, they had 16 investigators, and they should have 60. So that kind of created this massive backlog, and they were at 6,000 cases last fall that were just waiting, weren't getting to in a proper time. So one of the reasons, like I said, we were interested in this story is because Missouri lawmakers had said, we need to pay these investigators in Missouri a lot more, and that will help us attract more candidates. They start in Missouri at $43,000, and on the east side of the Mississippi in Illinois, we found out this week that the same position, these investigators start at $72,000. So Not remotely close.
Wow. Yeah. But you said 6,000 or 7,000 was the backlog there?
Yep. 6,000, and it had grown to 7,000. And this is on the Missouri side of the river. And they're getting more people hired in Missouri, but they're still not quite at the point where they're really eating into that backlog over here.
Yeah, it's astounding when you think you call in a report of suspected, you know, neglect or abuse or something like that. You hope it's going to get an immediate response, but with a backlog like that, probably take some time to investigate that situation. All right, well, let's talk about another Illinois-Missouri in comparison that came up in your reporting recently. Illinois was for a long time the sole regional state that had legalized recreational commercial marijuana. Now Missouri has joined them. How is the system working out there? How does it compare to Illinois?
Yeah, so I guess I'll take you back to 2020. So when recreational weed sales started in Illinois, Collinsville, a Metro East suburb here, had opened the first dispensary in the area. And because Missouri didn't have recreational weed back then, and it was one of the first locations in Illinois to open up because they already had medical marijuana, so to get the license, it was pretty simple. They made so much money, and they were so profitable, one of the most profitable in the state. So in the 2021 fiscal year, Collinsville made about $1.2 million on a 3% local tax. And that was really good money that Collinsville hadn't had before. But now that Missouri has opened up for business, they would have opened last February, that number has dropped. And so Collinsville last year made about $775,000 on local taxes. And that's not the end of the world, right? It's, of course, maybe not as good as it once was, but that's still money that they hadn't had before recreational marijuana was legalized. So it's, you know, like I said, not the end of the world. It would just be nice to have more. But they anticipated that, right? They knew that the market could get more saturated as states like Missouri had opened up for business. And there was one suburb, Fairview Heights is the name of it, that did have a dispensary that kind of has been pretty consistent in its performance and has made about $1 million on its local tax. So they were kind of the anomaly we found in our reporting. And so that's kind of raised the question of, should Illinois become more competitive and drop its taxes, the state taxes, that is, because in Missouri, they are less. So Missouri taxes at a flat 6% rate on recreational weed. Illinois, depending on the strength of the product, can tax up to 16%. So that's kind of an ongoing debate down here. But maybe statewide, Illinois had bounced back better than when Missouri opened up last year for recreational weed sales than some had expected. There was a one-time drop that was pretty noticeable in the numbers last February. But for the most part, Missouri's, for lack of a better term, kicking Illinois' butt in terms of recreational sales. So last December, for example, Illinois sold $154 million in recreational weed, and Missouri sold 106. And of course, Missouri has about half the population of Illinois.
I know people like to go over the river to get their gasoline too, oftentimes. I guess they can load up on more than just gas when they're doing that. All right, let's just a few minutes left. A new project in Alton is looking to attract new residents to the area. What are people hoping to do there?
Yeah, so this project is called the Lovejoy, named after the famous abolitionist Elijah Lovejoy, who actually died and was killed by an angry mob back in the 1830s. So they're using
his name. Is this when they threw the press in the river, that story?
Yes. Sounds familiar. He was a newspaperman, an abolitionist. Yep.
Famously, I digress.
No. You probably remember the details better than I do. So anyway, this project named the Lovejoy is going to be an apartment complex. And like a lot of kind of suburban towns here in the area, Alton, Mississippi River town north of St. Louis, has kind of bled some population. So in the 1960s, it had about 26,000 people, had 43,000 people. Now it's down to 26,000. And so they're looking to build affordable housing, which is a problem pretty much everywhere in the country. But they think if they can build good mixed income housing in downtown, that could help attract people, could be good for economic development, a bunch of different things. And so that's kind of exactly this project, 120 unit complex, mixed income. And the news this week was that Representative Nikki Budzinski, who also represents your neck of the woods in Congress, also represents the Metro East here, she had gotten $1 million in federal funding for the project from a congressional spending bill that had passed earlier this year, and that's a pretty common process, right? Congressional members may have a list of projects in their district and can request funds. So Budzinski had done that, and they have $1 million, and it's a much bigger project than that, right? It costs $50 million, but they think that, having good federal funds can kind of be a good sign that, hey, maybe there's other grants or other funding that they can get to help complete this project and bring people into downtown Alton.
Yeah, spring in Illinois, when the skies turn blue, the flowers bloom, and the politicians come out to cut ribbons across the state. Will Bauer is Metro East reporter for St. Louis Public Radio. Thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And now, sports. The University of Illinois men's basketball team had a late night Sweet 16 game yesterday. Actually, it wrapped up early this morning, Boston time, where the game was played. Joining me now to talk more about that is Steve Mork, senior producer at Illinois Public Media and senior sports fan on the 21st Show team. Steve, what a game. Give us a brief recap.
Yeah, it was. Illinois won 72-69 over Iowa State, so they played probably their best defense of the year, at least of the tournament, yesterday, as Iowa State, going into the game, was the number one ranked defense in the country. Illinois had the number one ranked offense in the country. So the age-old sports question of, does good offense beat good defense this time? Yes, that answer would be yes. It's the first time Illinois will go to the Elite Eight since 2005. If people remember 2005, they went to the national championship that year, lost to North Carolina. We don't really talk about that too much because it still hurts a lot of people. But yes, the last time they were in the Elite Eight, they made it all the way to the national championship. So maybe that's what's up this time around. I also think the winner of this game between UConn and the Fighting Illini wins the national championship. It's probably the best game of the tournament.
Ooh, a prediction. All right, so I heard the commentators last night saying you're going to have two of the best offenses, I think, going against each other. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yes, so the website KenPom rates Illinois offense number one, UConn number two. KenPom is a composite website that does a bunch of statistics for college basketball. It's number one offense versus number two offense, probably the first to 100.
Wow. So it's going to be a heck of a game next. When is the next game?
It'll be Saturday night, about 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock local time, 6 o'clock Boston time in TD Garden.
All right. I don't want to also, in just in a minute or so we have left, I don't want to neglect the Illini women. They are not in the big NCAA tournament this year, but they are in the WBIT. We don't have time to go into what that is, but how are they doing?
They're doing very well. They won yesterday also 65-61 against Tulsa. They moved to the semifinals of that tournament. They play Washington State on Monday in Indianapolis.
Steve Mork, senior producer and senior basketball correspondent for the 21st show, at least among the producers and engineers of the program. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Coming up after the break, we are going to be turning to politics. We'll talk with Linda Kenyon, our woman in Washington, about what's been happening in the Congress. And we will also talk with Jeremy Gorner, reporter at the Chicago Tribune, about turnover at the Illinois Prisoner Review Board. That's all coming up after a short break. This is the 21st show. Stay with us.